directions on the news for Tuesday, February 20th, 2007. This is Joe Francica and Adina Schutzberg of Directions Media. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to the top news of the week shortly, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Attend the Developer Summit in Palm Springs, California, March 19th through the 22nd. The conference features in-depth technical sessions and opportunities to interact one-on-one with ESRI development staff. To register, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Today we'll look at Trimble's two acquisitions, Autodesk's update of its geospatial product line, WorldWind 4.1, Nuance and TCS develop a speech-enabled nav system, and more detailed reports on Google's KML search, plus announcements from the 3GSM conference in Barcelona, Spain. Now to the news.
Okay, we're starting off with an announcement from Trimble of another acquisition. This time it acquired a company called Info, which calls itself a leader in photogrammetry and digital surface modeling for aerial surveying, mapping, and remote sensing applications. It's a fairly small company. It's got 1,000 customers in 100 countries. And what this really does is push Trimble out into new space much closer to the geospatial arena. And, Joe, Trimble had some other acquisitions this year as well, right?
Right, yeah. On Friday, Trimble closed its acquisition of AtRoad. We had heard about this first in the fall. The company is clearly placing its bet on the mobile resource management market by purchasing AtRoad. We also heard late last year that it acquired Spatian's Fieldport line. It's a more GIS-centric, Internet-based solution, but it's also in the field service management market.
So we're really seeing Trimble moving into a new arena, and we can look to them to be acquiring perhaps more companies in the more traditional geospatial arena rather than in the surveying space. I was lucky enough to attend Autodesk's World Press Day in San Francisco last week, where Autodesk rolled out all of its new products, which will be available later this year. In the GIS arena, there were two highlights, one around Design Review, which is the product for markup of DWF files. The big news for geospatial users is that now this product will respect georeferencing that's created in products based on maps, so Land Desktop and Civil 3D. So when you're working in Design Review, you'll be able to see the actual coordinates. You can actually look at the coordinates in other coordinate reference systems in real time, so that's very valuable for taking data out to the field. In Autodesk Map, the big new feature for geospatial professionals has to do with the creation and storage of standard metadata. And I do need to say that Autodesk paid for my flights, my meals, my lodging, and gave me a pile of presents to attend this event. Over to the open source world, WorldWind 4.1 was released for download on Valentine's Day, February 14th. The downloads have been quite quick and steady since then. In one day, there were 43,000 downloads. And I suspect that WorldWind may be the one open source product that all of us eventually are going to be touching here in the geospatial community. Joe?
We heard from an announcement from Nuance and Telecommunication Systems. They launched a speech-enabled navigation service for mobile phones. I thought this was interesting because if you've ever tried one of the navigation applications for a mobile phone, it is quite difficult to punch in a destination with the keypad on a mobile phone. To me, a speech-enabled system is the way to go. If you're talking into a mobile phone, you want to give voice directions into the device so that it will be able to do a kind of a hands-free, or at least a one-hand-free, on putting in your directions. So I thought it was an interesting advance. Now we'll go on to more detailed discussions.
I really want to highlight the announcement of Google's KML search, which came to the fore last week. Now, as many people know, you can search a variety of kinds of documents from Google. You can search Word doc files, you can search PDF files, you can search DWG files. Well, now you can search KML files. And what I'm very interested in are the implications of that for us in the geospatial community for the kinds of things that we search for. So let's roll back a little bit and think about how we search for geodata now. So if I wanted to find, for example, some GIS data for Clark County, Nevada, my default thing to do would be to go to my favorite search engine and type in Clark County, Nevada GIS and see what popped up. Now, I could go to something like Geospatial One Stop. I could go to some other specialized GIS tools, search tools like MapDex. For the most part, I don't do that, and based on a poll we did, most of our readers don't do that either. So now we may have a new way to solve that kind of problem. Now, how would that work? Well, the way that the KML search works is if you have a KML file posted publicly on the Internet that the Google indexer can find, it will be indexed. And if you do a spatial search within Google Earth from a geographic location, it will use that information to zero in on the search. If you take that one step further, if you have some KML that is representative of the area of the geospatial information that you might want to share, for example, for Clark County, Nevada, that would be a way to easily search for it. Now, the KML file is what's used to find the geographic location. You might have associated with it on the same web page, for example, a geodatabase or a shapefile or a MapInfo file or whatever format is appropriate for what you're doing. Now, certainly you could look at the KML file within Google Earth. You could look at the KML file in another piece of software that reads KML, or you could download or access the other data files if they were being publicly made available. So this has some really interesting implications for, you know, a challenging situation that we've had for some time. And one of our readers has already made the comment, if this is in fact going to be the way that we're going to be searching for geospatial data, we need to start talking to the vendors now about a very simple way to create these KML files that we'll put up on the web to make our geospatial data searchable.
Yeah, Dina, I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you think of the potential implications, in particular at the local and the state level? You know, these are organizations that really do need to get information out to their constituents. You know, what are the types of things we may think could happen from this?
Potential is huge for a couple of reasons. One, KML is a published format. Number two, Google is, very well recognized, very well respected, very well used search engine. And this could really simplify this whole act of finding data and make it sort of a de facto standard of how we search. And it may solve a lot of the challenges that we've heard about and run into ourselves in integrating all these different kinds of data. Because we've got different search engines, if you want data for North Carolina, you got to go to the special North Carolina toolkit, or if you want to look for federal data, you might go to Geospatial One Stop. Well, ideally now, you could search the entire web, assuming that there is KML associated with the data in question, and find all of it from a single location. So I think the implications are huge, and I want to point readers to an interview we did with Michael Jones on just how this works and what the implications might be. You'll find that in the show notes.
We want to move on to some of the announcements that came out of the 3GSM conference in Barcelona, Spain, earlier in February. There are a number of announcements related to location-based services. We're going to just mention a few. Navtec announced that it was powering the Nokia 6110 Navigator. The interesting thing here was that it comes with many detailed world maps as a standard offering, spanning six continents, 17 million kilometers of road, 50 points of interest, POIs. So, you know, it becomes a kind of a world phone, world navigator phone. Surf and its SurfStar 3 product was announced in sort of a small footprint format, making it easier to go into, again, smaller handheld mobile devices. And the ability of the SurfStar 3, if you've ever had a GPS device that uses the SurfStar chip, it's very fast. It can track more than 20 GPS satellites, so it has very fast position acquisition time. Surf and OpenWave also made an announcement. These two companies have worked together to integrate the OpenWave location manager along with SurfLock multi-mode location server. These two companies are trying to offer a one-stop shop for everything that application developers need to build a location-aware infrastructure. And lastly, Global Locate and NXP Semiconductors announced the availability of an assisted GPS reference design for 3G mobile devices. So again, they're trying to capitalize on the fact that assisted GPS overcomes some of the limitations of the traditional GPS devices. Taken together, this was only four of the announcements. There were many more announcements of location-based applications made at 3GSM. It's almost as if there's been a boom in LBS, and I think we've seen this coming over the last year. But having this location, this conference as a main focal point, really put the emphasis on LBS services coming into their own, and obviously not just in the European market, but we're seeing this now. In the U.S. market, certainly Sprint, Nextel have come out with applications. Verizon with their VZ Navigator is out.
And I want to wrap up with a rather sad update. A few weeks back, we talked in some detail about the efforts to find Jim Gray, the Microsoft researcher who was lost at sea about 3 weeks back. And despite all of the efforts of a wide variety of friends and members of the geospatial community and just the world community, the team behind it has determined that Gray's boat couldn't have sailed beyond where folks have already looked, and they have sort of suspended active efforts.
We want to remind everyone that ESRI's 27th Annual International Users Conference is going to be held June 18th to the 22nd this year in San Diego. Online registration is available now. For more information, please visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks for joining us for another Directions Media podcast. We're glad you tuned in with us today. Remember that this Thursday is the deadline for early registration for our Location Intelligence Conference, in which you can save $200. Please go to www.locationintelligence.net. Please join us next week for another podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.